Well, Covenant Fellowship, there's one reason that we've gathered here today, and that is that Jesus Christ invited us to come and worship him. He is the Lord of our life. He is the light of our lives. And we have come here today to give him glory and honor and to yield ourselves to him. Let us begin by preparing ourselves as we pray together in unison. You, O Lord, are my light. You, O Lord, are my life. As I come to you now, may my worship be pure. May it be a blessing to you. And I pray that your face will shine upon all of us gathered here. I pray in Jesus' name.
Let's all praise him this morning as we stand and sing the Solid Rock.
My hope is built on...
Father, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds that realize that what this world promises us is sinking sand, and only our faith built on you will be on the solid rock. Hear us now as we pray in the way that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. For thine. Thank you, Joseph. I don't think I could ever play the bassoon. Yeah, that was Judy's instrument. She loves bassoon. Our teaching from the Old Testament this morning comes from the first book of Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 7th through the 25th verses. That day, David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When there were but a few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. May God add the blessing to the reading of his word this morning from the Old Testament. Let's sing about the mighty power of God. Let's stand together as we sing, I sing the mighty power of God.
Let us turn to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit of God, hallelujah, majesty and glory are yours. How can we glorify your name, Lord, when you are already fully glorious? How can we magnify your name even more? Oh, Lord, receive our praise. Receive our thanksgiving. Help us to come into your presence, realizing who you are, and with excitement and joy, a thrill in our hearts, worship you. Worship you. Worship you in spirit. Worship you in truth. Worship you with our minds and our hearts, with our hands, our feet, our lips. Oh, Lord, receive our praise. Father, we thank you that you do not forget your covenant. You do not forget your promises. That you are always faithful. And we come to you now as a nation asking for your help. I ask, Lord, that you will bless Barack Obama. I ask that you will bless Mitt Romney. I ask that you will convict and lead and bless all of those that you have placed in authority in this country. And Lord, hear our prayer as we say to you that we know that we are a sinful nation. We know who you want us to be and what you want us to be. And there are many, Lord, who are faithful. But Lord God, I pray that you will heal our land, that you will guide this election process, that you will take our future into your hands, Lord God, and mold this country. Lord, we thank you for the good report that we have today from Harold, from Jack. And Father, there are those who need your healing. They need the great physician. They need more than just a doctor. I pray, God, that you will do your thing. Touch their body. Touch them from inside. Reach in, Lord, to every pain, to everything that's not in accordance with your perfect creation, and heal. May we be whole from head to toe, and may everyone know it just by being with us. May you glow through us that we may magnify your name, give glory to your name. Lord, we pray for our guests who will be coming in the days ahead, that you bring just exactly the person or persons you want here, that their faith may be renewed, or that their faith may be quickened, that they may meet Jesus Christ in this place, recommit to Jesus Christ in this place, and leave this place filled with joy and awe as to who you are. And Lord, once again, I thank you for covenant fellowship. I thank you for a family of God. I thank you for brothers and sisters seeking your face and seeking to honor you. And Lord, we continually lift this church, this fellowship to you, and ask, as we have for our nation, that you be the potter and that we, as a church, be your clay. Mold us and make us after your will. Hear our prayers, Lord, in the name of Jesus the Christ.
A reading from the New Testament this morning comes from 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 1st through the 12th verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by His blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious love. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Father, we do ask that you come now, open our eyes, open our hearts, our minds, and collect our souls, that we may receive what you have prepared. And we ask now that you bless the one that you've anointed to give us this message today. For we ask these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Before I begin the message, I'm just going to take a moment. I don't like to interrupt worship, but I'm going to take a moment, interrupt it, to say something about Joseph Wong. I'm impressed with you, Joseph, favorably impressed with you. Joseph is 14 years old. He's also single, by the way, and looking, if anyone... And he was just accepted into the Baltimore Youth Symphony. Is this correct? Is correct? I'm sorry? Orchestra, the Youth Orchestra. I want to celebrate the fact that God has given gifts to someone, and He's using them for His glory. And I think that's wonderful. I can't imagine what you're going to be like when you're 15. And I'm delighted that you're going to Israel with me. The whole family. I'm just delighted that this family is going. I can hardly wait. Where were we? Oh, yes. Most of us like to set goals. Most of us do that in our lives. We set goals. One of the reasons we set goals is that there's a prize at the end. I remembered setting a lot of goals when I was a child. I was a Boy Scout, if you can believe that. I was a Boy Scout, and one of my goals was to get as many merit badges on the sash on my chest as possible. I loved to see those colored circles. It was just very exciting to me. That was the prize. One summer, When I was in elementary school, the library in Rockingham, North Carolina, had a contest. They wanted all the children in the community to read at least 10 books over the summer, and they got a certificate. I wanted that certificate. I didn't like to read, but I wanted that certificate. So I read 10 books, and that's when I discovered that some books have more pictures in them than others. When I turned 14 or 15 years old, my goal was to get that driver's license. I couldn't wait to be independent and be able to take that car and go wherever I wanted to go. I imagine some of you are identifying with some of these goals that I went through in my little closet searching here. And then my goal was to get that high school diploma. And then my goal was to get into Davidson College. That took a lot of study. And those books did not have pictures in them. And skipping forward now, many decades, I discovered that most of my goals became more like, just get me through it, Lord. Just get me through it. Goals are good. Goals are helpful. They keep us focused on the prize ahead. But how we get there is often very different. And this story illustrates that. There were three young boys playing in the snow. A man came along and said, "Hey, boys, would you like to have a contest, a race? I'll give a prize to the winner." "Yes, sir." He said, "I tell you what, I'm going to go across the field over to the other side there to those trees, and I want you to run through the snow." And he said, "But it's not the first person who gets there that gets the prize. It's the person whose footsteps are the straightest in the snow." Okay, they were excited. So he went to the other side, he gave them the signal, and they started running. The first boy watched his feet all the way along. "I'm going to keep straight line." The second boy looked side to side to see what the other boys were doing. But the third boy kept his eyes right on that man, and he just ran right towards him. And you know what happened? He was the one with the straight line in the snow because he kept his eyes focused on the goal. Now, Paul talks about this extremely well in the book of Philippians chapter 3. Let me read this. "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So that leads me to this question. What is the goal of your faith? And I'm going to give you the answer. The goal of your faith is salvation. We're going to talk about that. How do you define salvation? In the American Dictionary, salvation is defined as being rescued. Rescued from a number of things, from danger, from evil, from difficulty or destruction. In the theological dictionary, salvation is also defined as being rescued. Rescued from the consequences of sin. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we have a glorious description of salvation. Listen again to these words. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. In his great mercy," that is the source of our salvation, God's great mercy. "In his great mercy, he has given us a new hope." That is the scope of our salvation. "In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into living hope." That is the effect of our salvation. We have a living hope. "In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That is the means of salvation. He is the agent of salvation. "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. That's the prize of salvation. That's the prize, our inheritance, kept in heaven, the source, the scope, the effect, the means, the agent, the prize of salvation, all wonderfully described in just a few words, pregnant with meaning. Do you grasp those words? Do you understand those words? Do you live like you grasp and understand those words? For instance, what about God's mercy? There was an Indian chief who came to know Jesus Christ. He loved Jesus and he wanted to talk about Jesus all the time. One night, the Indians were sitting around a campfire, and one of the other Indians said to the chief, "Why do you talk about Jesus all the time?" He didn't say a word. He got up from his seat. He gathered some dead grass and some sticks, and he brought them over, and he made a circle in the soil. And then he went over and he found a caterpillar and he took the caterpillar and he put the caterpillar in the middle of the circle. And then he picked up a burning stick from the campfire and he lit the dry grass and the sticks and the fire spread around the circle. And soon the caterpillar was trapped in this ring of fire. And the caterpillar began to get frantic and began to crawl around quickly, trying to find a way of escape. And he couldn't. And he lifted his head up high because he was so helpless. And he looked. If he could have talked, he probably would have said, "Help me. Can't you see? I'm in danger. Help me." And then the Indian chief took his hand and reached into the middle of the circle and pointed his finger and touched his finger to the ground in front of the caterpillar. And the caterpillar hurriedly ran up his finger and his arm to safety. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. The Indian chief said, "I was trapped in my sin. I was helpless. I was hopeless. And Jesus Christ stooped down in love and mercy and drew me out of my horrible pit. The pit of my sin and my shame. How can I not help but love him and talk about him all the time?" You and I are just like that caterpillar and just like that Indian chief. You and I were in a pit of sin and shame until Jesus Christ came with both of his hands on a cross and took the hammer and the nails. And rescued you. He extended mercy to you. The opposite of mercy is what? Justice. Never pray for justice for yourself. Always, with thanksgiving, pray for mercy for yourself. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth. You know, you and I had absolutely nothing to do with being born. We didn't select our parents. We didn't select our race. We didn't select the time of our being born. We didn't pick the moment of our birthday. All of that was under God's control. When you and I experience regeneration of our souls, the new birth that Jesus talked about when he talked to Nicodemus, you and I had nothing to do with that either. God was in control. Jesus said, "You must be born again." Think about it this way also. You can be born again. You have been born again, brothers and sisters. Amen. The mystery and the power of the new birth in Jesus Christ is greater than the thunder that echoes in the mountain canyons. It's greater than the roar of water over Niagara Falls. I'm reminded of a trite little song that we used to sing in the 70s that I loved. It went, "Get all excited, go tell everybody. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Yeah, you know that song. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you have been born again as a child of God. R.C. Sproul said this, "We must realize it is not as if dead people have faith, and because of their faith, God agrees to regenerate them. Rather, it is because God has regenerated us and given us new life that we have faith." Hallelujah. When were you born again? When did you receive your second birthday? Well, I'll tell you. You are all like a thoroughbred racehorse. You see, the breeders of the thoroughbred racehorses found it was difficult to pinpoint when the horses were born, and they didn't know how old they were. So they came up with a standard. Every thoroughbred racehorse in the Northern Hemisphere celebrates the same birthday, January 1. If you want to know when you can celebrate your first birthday, I'll tell you when. It was on the Friday before Easter, 33 AD. Happy birthday. Happy new birthday. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. People need hope. People are looking for hope all the time, everywhere. It reminds me of a couple that I heard about who were on a cruise ship, single. On the deck one day, the man looked across and he saw an attractive lady. And he looked at her, and she looked at him, and she smiled. And his pacemaker went up a few notches. And that night, he made sure that he was seated by her at dinner. And he said, "Hello, good evening," and introduced himself. I saw you on the deck today. Thank you for that lovely smile you gave me." And she looked down and she said, "Well, sir, the reason I smiled is that you have a remarkable resemblance to my third husband." And he said, "Third husband, how many times have you been married?" She looked at her plate and smiled again and she said, "Twice." People are always searching for hope, everywhere, all the time. But God gives us a living hope. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, we tend to think of an inheritance as something yet to come, something in the future. But the biblical use of the word implies that an inheritance is something that is settled. It is secure. It is here right now. Stephen Marsh lived in New Jersey. Stephen Marsh was 50 years old. He had not had an easy life. He was not a wealthy man. His aunt died, and his aunt made him the executor of her estate. Stephen hoped he was going to get a large sum of money. But when he read the will, it said this, "To my beloved Stephen Marsh, I bequeath my family Bible, along with the residue of my estate after my funeral expenses and the lawful debts are paid." Stephen buried his aunt, he paid off his debts, and afterwards, all he had was a few $100 left over. For the next 30 years, he lived in poverty. At the age of 80, he had to move in to the home of his son and his son's wife to be cared for. They moved him from his home, and they found in his attic that Bible covered with dust. And they opened it up, and you can probably guess what I'm about to say. Stephen opened the Bible, and for the first time, he found inside its pages banknotes worth a fortune. He lived in poverty for 30 years as a wealthy man and didn't know it. He didn't open God's word. All the riches he could have enjoyed all along, all the inheritance right under his nose, and he refused to even look at it. Don't be a Stephen Marsh. You have received mercy. You have received a new birth, a living hope, an inheritance, and the goal of your faith is salvation. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua. Yeshua is the derivative of the name Jesus in the New Testament. He is your salvation. He is your prize. He is your goal. He is your Savior. 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Well, you might say, I've reached my goal. I have Jesus. Yes, you do. You have Jesus. But you do not yet have all of Jesus. The best is yet to come. Keep your eyes fixed on the goal, and your path will lead straight to him. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us on a path that leads to salvation for our souls. Thank you for giving us an inheritance now that we can enjoy on this side of heaven and enjoy the best that is yet to come when we are with you in eternity. Thank you for this unspeakable gift, and may we get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And I pray in his name, amen.
Let's stand together as we sing Jesus Calls Us Over the Tumult. Let's stand. And as he calls our hearts to obedience, we now have an opportunity to give back that which he's entrusted to each and every one of us, a portion. Please be seated.
Let our praise be heard in the streets. Let's stand together and praise the Lord. Lord, we cannot thank you enough, but we thank you for giving to us, and we thank you for the privilege we have of giving to your kingdom now. And Father, I pray that the gifts we have given now in the name of Christ will honor you, and that they will be used for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Before you receive the benediction, we want to add a name to our prayer list. That's Barbara Greffin, who is having a great deal of upper respiratory infection, and she's asked, or Milt just asked, to have her name placed on the prayer list. So remember to pray for Barbara. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.